Would you join with me in a word of prayer? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this blessed privilege and opportunity to assemble ourselves to worship Thee. We're thankful, Father, that we live in a land where we are free to worship. And we know that those freedoms come from Thee, O Lord. And we pray that You'd bless us, that we never take these privileges for granted. We're thankful that You have put it in our heart to come this way today. And we pray, Father, that You would bless us as we have assembled here. Pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us, Heavenly Father, that we might worship in spirit and in truth. We again pray for the sick, the afflicted, the poor and needy, those that we've mentioned this day and others that we may not be aware of. We just ask that You would bless according to Thy righteous will. Just now, Father, I pray that You would bless us in the study of Thy Word. I pray that You would open the Scriptures and give us understanding that we might see Thy will for our lives, that we might walk closer to Thee, Heavenly Father, in days to come. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. I want to read verses 16 through 23 to begin our study this morning. Again, Acts chapter 13, verses 16 through 23. This book, of course, is named the Acts of the Apostles. But there's one apostle that stands out above the others. The main part of this book is about the Apostle Paul and his travels and ministry. But there's one constant theme that runs through this entire book, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So it would better, or more accurately, be called the Acts of the Spirit. Because in all things, we see the church empowered by the Holy Ghost. We see Him traveling with Paul and those others as the gospel spreads. We see the church growing, even amid conflict and persecution. The Holy Spirit is there to bless. And I just want to remind you that that same Holy Spirit is here today, blessing us in our service. And we have, through the Holy Spirit, the opportunity to see great things in the church. And I pray the Lord will open our eyes and open our minds to that. Read with me in Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 16. So then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm he brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to start with the last part of this reading first, and we'll go back and get some of these other verses. But I want to emphasize the fact that the Apostle Paul here says that of this man's creed, that is referring to David, has God raised according to his, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. God raised a Savior for Israel. You are no doubt aware of much of the history of Israel and how so much of their history they were a rebellious people, how often they turned away from God, how often they rebelled and served the idols and all those other things. Yet, in spite of all that, God, according to the promise that He made, raised unto them a Savior, Jesus. God is faithful, and He kept the promise, and that promise goes all the way back specifically to Abraham. It really goes back farther, because I believe when God spoke to the serpent in the garden and talked about raising the seed of the woman, that was a promise of the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ. But especially he promised Abraham that of his seed, he would raise up one who would be a blessing to his people. God has done exactly what He said He would do. And God is still doing exactly what He said He would do. To Israel, God raised up a Savior, but I'm going to tell you this morning that we come as spiritual Israel, and to us, God has raised a Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you don't remember anything else I say today, remember that. God kept His promise. God has raised up a Savior. God has blessed us when we were undeserving, when we were as rebellious as Israel was. God kept His promise. And God will keep His promise. Now, let's go back and get a little background of what Paul is, what's going on here as Paul is traveling and preaching. In Acts chapter 13 in the first verse, the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So the church here is assembled at Antioch. They're working. They're ministering, they're doing the things that God said, and God said, "I've got a further purpose. Separate out Saul and Barnabas for the work that I've chosen them for." God had a specific work for these specific men, and He told the church that you send them on their way. They prayed, they fasted, they laid hands on them, they obeyed God's will. But I'm going to tell you, God is still working in the same way to send His men to preach the gospel. But He's still calling out people, men and women, to do His will, to serve as He would have the gospel ministers. He's still working in the same way. And in much the same way that God was working in that day, and as Paul relates how God had worked among the nation of Israel, in principle, God is still working the same way today. And I want you to keep in mind that there's many testimonies in the New Testament of the inspiration of Scripture and the purpose of Scripture and the purpose of the nation of Israel. And Paul, writing to the book of Romans, says that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So the things concerning Israel was written for us to learn from. If we're going to learn anything from them, there must be some principles that still apply to us today. So I want us this morning to look at God's working with Israel and see the parallel of God working the same way among His people today. Now, as I read to you in the beginning, as Paul began to relate to those that he preached to, he called on those that feared God, the men of Israel, give audience. "The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm He brought them out." So we see there God choosing a people. And you find illustrated all through Scripture, the choice was God's. God first moved, he chose the people and called people to himself, but it was always, the beginning was with God. In the book of Deuteronomy, we have the record of God as he chose the nation of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning at 6th verse, we see God's purpose in Israel, first of all. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and beginning at verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. God chose Israel to be different, to be special, not just to make them an honored people, although they were that. They were a blessed people. But they were a people that were to be a witness of God's grace. So he set them apart for that specific purpose. And I'm going to tell you today, there's a people set apart to be a holy people to God. We call it the church. But we're to be a holy people, a special people, blessed above all the people on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more than number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondsmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord God, the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. The faithful God who keeps his covenant. Now he's telling Israel, when he chose them, he didn't choose them because they were such a mighty, great nation. He said, you were the fewest people. But why did God choose them? The Lord loved them. He set his love upon them, and he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers. Again, he swore an oath to Abraham. He reaffirmed that oath in Isaac and in Jacob. And to these people, slaves in Egypt, God is going to honor that promise, that covenant, and make of them a mighty nation to bring them out with a powerful hand. God is still in the choosing business. God sets his love upon people, and he chooses those people for himself. In the book of Ephesians, in the first chapter, y'all ever get tired of hearing this passage? I go to it a lot because I love it. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I always have to stop when I read that, because in Christ, when God gave His Son, gave us Jesus Christ, He gave us absolutely everything. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Right now, if indeed you're chosen of God, and I believe you are, right now you have a legal right to every spiritual blessing that God has. Have you ever thought about that? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. They belong to us. Why don't we take them? Why don't we make the most of them? Well, with me, it's this old stubborn, carnal nature. But he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He set his love upon us and set us apart to be a holy and a peculiar and a different people, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God determined beforehand that he was going to do something. He has done it, he is doing it, and he will do it, according to the good purpose of his will. Not according to anything in you. Not according to anything that God might have looked at and saw in you. But strictly according to his good pleasure. And verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It is for God's glory and God's praise that he's done that, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. God, again, has done exactly what he wanted to do according to his will. And notice it says he's made known unto us the mystery of his will. I've said this before, but I want to remind you that in our everyday language, a mystery is something that is hidden, something that we can't understand. It's something out there that's covered up. But the word mystery in the Bible means something different. It means something that has been revealed. It may be something that was once covered up, but now it's been revealed. Or it may be something that is concealed to everybody else, but to a certain people, it's been revealed. It's a mystery. It's something that has been uncovered for us. So God has uncovered his will. It's been hidden for so long. It's hidden to so many people. But to those that God has chosen, he's revealed that to us and showed us the beauty of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, I want to go back to Acts chapter 13. So we see God has chosen the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. So we see there God's power in protecting and delivering his people. It was what the apostle here calls a high arm, with a mighty hand, with power and strength, God brought his people out of that bondage in Egypt. The psalmist tells us that when they came out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among them. Every single one of God's people came out. Every one of God's people came out in strength, in full health, in vigor. God brought them out and watched over them and kept them with his power. And he's still watching over and keeping his people today. That same power, the power of the Holy Spirit, dwells with us, but that's the power of Almighty God. That's that high arm that God brought his people out. Notice also in verse 18, and about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. In our everyday language, that means for 40 years God put up with their bad manners. They murmured, they complained, they rebelled. They were an ungrateful people, and yet God suffered them. God kept leading them. God kept guiding them with a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar by fire by night. God's presence was always with them. And we see the long suffering, the mercy and grace of God. Have you ever seen that in your life? So many times I've been just like Israel. I've murmured, I've complained, I've rebelled against God, and yet He has never forsaken me. And I have the promise of His Word that He never will forsake me. That leads to the next point I want to make. He never leaves me, but He's going to discipline me, just as He disciplined Israel of old. Acts chapter 13, verse 19, "And when He destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, He divided their land unto them by lot. He did what He said to bring them into the land that flowed with milk and honey. And after that, He gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet." So God judged righteously His people. We talked just a little bit this morning in Bible study in the book of Judges and how so many times God's people turned away from Him. But God gave them judges, men to bring them back into the right way, men to establish God's justice in the land. Let's turn, if you will, in the book of Judges to the second chapter. Judges chapter 2 and beginning at verse 11. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." Let me pause right there. I remind you that God told Israel when they came into the land of Canaan to drive out and destroy everybody in the land. They didn't do it. They left people there, and those people were a constant snare to them. Those people were always there to entice them and to lead them to serve other gods, and Israel served those gods. So that initial disobedience led to greater disobedience all down through their history. Verse 13, "They forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." God told them if they were willing and obedient, they'd eat of the good of the land, but if they refused and rebelled, they'd be devoured by the sword. And exactly as God said, it took place. Look at verse 16. "Nevertheless, in spite of all that, the Lord raised up judges and delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them." When God would have been perfectly just to completely destroy them, He suffered their bad manners nevertheless. In spite of all that, God was merciful and God was gracious. And yet they would not hearken to their judges, but they went whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. So when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies all the days of that judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by the reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them, to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. You see how God, like a father, is dealing with them, when they disobey, he would send those other nations, but they would chastise them until they cried out to God. And God would hear their moanings, and God would have mercy, and God would raise up a judge, and the judge would deliver them. And kind of like I was as a boy, I was good as long as Daddy was there. As soon as Daddy left, I turned to my own ways. So God raised up the judge, and they walked according to his way. As long as the judge lived, when the judge was gone, then they went right back to the same old way. And yet, God did not forsake his people. He raised up to them a Savior. And he raised them from the seed of David, just like he promised. Final point that I want to make, Acts chapter 13, verse 22, talks about the people wanted a king, and they wanted a king just like the nations around them. Not a king of God's choosing. They wanted what they wanted. God gave them Saul. Then verse 22 says, and when he had removed him, when he demonstrated how unsuitable he was, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my ways. God sought out, God went looking, to put it in human language. God knew where David was all the time. But in our language, he went looking for a man after his own heart, a man who would do his will. The book of 1 Samuel, in chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. If Saul had been obedient, God would have established his kingdom. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. God sought out a man to do his will. God is still seeking out men and women to do his will, to establish them in this kingdom that he has given us, the kingdom of this greater son of David, this Savior that God has raised up of David's seed. God is still seeking. God is still working. God is still choosing his people. He's still protecting his people with that mighty arm. He's still patiently leading his people. He's still righteously judging his people. He's still seeking a people to do his will. He's looking for people who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I pray that the Lord would open our eyes to see his work among us, to see the purpose that he's leading to, and that is obedience, to enjoy the blessings of his kingdom, to establish us forever in that kingdom, just like he would have established Saul had he been obedient. May God bless us to be followers of Jesus Christ, to be obedient and to enjoy the blessings, and to cooperate with the work that God is doing in our lives today. And that is my prayer for Christ's sake.